This week on New Dad Gaming, we cover the biggest announcements from Paris Games Week, seeing what a dad could possibly play. And we get into a frank and earnest discussion of a journey with ADHD. All on New Dad Gaming. The adult beverages are poured, the kids are asleep. Welcome to New Dad Gaming, a show about fatherhood, gaming, and new fathers figuring out their gaming lives. My name is Trevor, and I have a two-year-old who's actually not asleep, according to the intro. If you hear him in the background, and a two-month-old.
And I'm Jeff. I have a seven-year-old that's wide awake talking. I don't know if you can hear him, but he's not asleep either. And my four-year-old is sound asleep. So one of two.
That would really be the more honest intro there is really, you know, with the adult beverages are poured because the kids aren't sleeping.
Welcome to exactly.
And we're not gaming, of course. Yeah. Jeff, how was your week in, let's just dive right into it because some really great topics here to discuss this week. I'll hit my fatherhood thing really quickly, then we can kind of get into yours afterwards, after some of the gaming news as well. All's great here. one of the biggest worries is, the second one has thus far, and I'm scared to say this, but he's been so easy by comparison. And
okay.
See, I swear, I might have already talked about this a bit, but it's still just so shocking. It's hard to have anything else top of mind. And part of it is either just he truly is much more calm, or by comparison, anything is calm. You know? It's just like, there's no thunderstorm that'll seem great after a tsunami. So, I mean, it was always going to be that way. But he honestly seems really calm, and I just worry that the calm before the storm, or like easy babyhood, awful toddlerhood, like how does that go? As you can hear my daughter screaming currently.
I'm about to say in the background.
Classically, we would end it, but like we have very narrow time to record this show, so welcome to fatherhood. But
exactly.
Man, he's great though, and it's just like we were just worried that like it's going to turn because that was your experience, right? One of yours was great, and then your first one was great, your second was bad, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the first one was great. So we're like, why not try it again? And that's where it fell off a cliff. So if you start bad, where it's, you know, it was difficult in the beginning, you're like, maybe the second time it's not so bad. And it turned out, right? So maybe that's a...
Yeah, I'd say it's certainly good, but he's still very difficult in comparing him to some other kids. Like, I definitely can't say he's easy now. So there's no way he's an easy toddler. Difficult baby, difficult toddler. So easy baber... Easy baby, horrific toddler? Like, what's... Yeah, no.
When their strength is, 10 times what it was.
The big news of this week was the Paris Games Week happened. Massive announcements coming through. I was really excited. Some really interesting PSVR ones. But curious to see, and I'll ask everyone to forgive me because I'm jumping around all over the place for this intro. I did want to ask, did you get any gaming in this week, Jeff?
Barely. I will say that I did participate in the Halloween sale on PSN.
Ooh.
So I had, it's been on my list for a long time, but Alien Isolation.
Nice.
Decided to jump in that pond. So I play a little bit of that just to get a feel for it. It is really well done. It looks exactly like the movie. Just the feeling, the atmosphere, it's great. Scares the crap out of me, but we'll see what happens when I see the alien.
I was going to ask, how is the fear factor for you of it?
It's right now, I know that the alien won't show up for a while. So I'm kind of kind of walking through this field of daisies kind of ship, not knowing that, you know, impending doom is above me.
But everything's fine.
The audio. Yeah, the audio in it is crazy. Like, you can hear, footsteps and, thumps from above you. So you know that it's going to get worse before it gets better. And, scratching noises and just breathing from some vents. So I don't know. I'll see how far I get in this game. It might just be too much at one point and be like, you know what? I'm stressed out during the day. I don't want to be stressed out at night. So
I need chilled out experiences, please.
Yeah, we'll see. I'll mix that in with something else. Maybe that'll calm it down, but recommended. It looks great.
So one of my favorite mods I'd seen for that was that there's one where it just removes the alien. Because
that would be even better.
Because some people found like the world so amazing and the lore, and they just wanted to explore and forget the aliens. So this whole mod was just, get rid of them. I just want to walk around.
Yes, I just want a walking simulator on a space station from the movie. Thank you. That's great.
This is wonderful. Very, very pleasant. Thank you.
No doom.
So myself, nothing really for myself. The what's notable, which common gripe among new gamers, namely that the constant need for connectivity for games that shouldn't need connectivity. Where it burnt me was, so we're currently in the middle of a move. We'll discuss that in another podcast. The place where we're at has awful internet, and awful enough that it will not let me connect to Destiny. So it'll let
Oh, no.
It'll let me in for like 2 or 3 minutes, and it's like, oh, trying to get the server, and just boot me out. I'm like, oh, great. Okay, so I'll go and play Steep. Steep, the huge, massive snowboarding game. Nope, you have to have an online connection to play that game. Have to. That is some nonsense. Like, it's a mountain and I'm on a snowboard. Let me go. Like, what? I don't need to see Jimmy Frank and like do a 1080 without issues. Like, let me just snowboard around.
Well, and this is what Xbox originally got caught for, right? They got a whole bunch of flack saying it was always online, and then PlayStation came out saying, no, our next system will not have that. And then you have developers doing it anyway.
It was so disappointing because that would have been such a perfect game, zipping around, snowboarding, super chill. Yeah. But no, you got to be online. So I was toast there. So I ended up playing some Street Fighter, which I hadn't. They announced a whole bunch of new characters. Season 3 is about to come around. They announced Arcade Edition, which includes all the new characters plus a new mode and a whole bunch of amazing things. And the great thing about it is, besides the characters, which you know is DLC and such, the all current versions of Street Fighter 5 get all the new get all the new modes and all this, most of the updates, which is awesome. Really good on them. Yeah, real good on them for that.
They've tended, like, that game was a mess when it came out, but it sounds like it's where it should have been a year ago, right?
Yeah. I think people would have said that earlier this year, that it kind of finally came into its own where it should have been, and now they're starting to ice it up and like really make it into something. So it's but good on them. Like, glad to see that they're releasing free content for current buyers. Mostly making money from new characters.
Yeah.
Which I have none, so.
I was about to say, and how many do you have?
Go Ryu.
Yeah. Master of one.
It's like Rhea. It's like a cheap knockoff Ryu. Yeah. Hadouk-so. Anyway, so, again, apologies for all for the jumping around, but let's get right back to it, because the huge news from gaming was the the Paris Games Week. Largely just PlayStation, which I thought was more of everybody's included, but nope, just PlayStation Paris Games Week. And besides like some really interesting PSVR stuff and some kind of more details about known quantities like Last of Us 2, the 10 biggest new announcements, we're going to just run through real fast, give it a quick dad take, whether it's something we might be able to play or not.
Yeah.
Answer to all is like, nope, too busy. Nope, too busy.
Nope.
time.
Nope, needs an online connection.
No time, no money.
Yeah.
So the Ghost of Tsushima.
Oh, well, that one looks very interesting. Actually, I will say.
Well, that didn't take too long to capitulate.
Right off the bat. I love Infamous. Mm-hmm. Sucker Punch did a great job with that, and it still holds up even today, and that game is probably 4 years old or whatever. And this is a feudal Japan Infamous, like an open world, and you're in feudal Japan, like a ninja. And I love the old Tenchu Onimusha kind of games. So this, if I kind of build it up in my head, what it should be, will be awesome. So we'll see what they do with it. They didn't show much, but I am interested in that one.
Okay.
Don't know if I'll have time for it.
Yeah. See, the thing I will somewhat counter the con from a dad perspective, in my opinion, too much content. You cannot possibly spend enough time in this. However, they're less, not really demanding. I mean, if you want to just poke around feudal Japan, do a few little things like in the 30 minutes to an hour that you have possibly to game, that is what's kind of great about these open worlds. You know, I found that with No Man's Sky. I think kind of the open nature of Horizon Zero Dawn served you well in that way.
Yep. Yeah, well, even Witcher, I go back to that. It took me 10 months to finish it, but little by little,
yeah,
so I got up there. So it might be one of those.
Yeah, little taste, little sample here and there. So it is truly amazing. It might be your game of 2018.
It could be, like, the entire year.
That's all you talk. Spelunky 2.
Surprising that they got, like, exclusivity on that, at least for a while.
No, seriously?
I think so. I might be coming to PC, so it might be just exclusivity with PS4 and not to Xbox. But that one is a surprise announcement. I don't think anybody was really expecting it at this point. They probably knew the sequel was coming, but maybe not here.
Did you ever get into it?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I remember receiving it, I think it was on PS3 it was on. And even on PC I had it as a free gift from someone. And it was cool, and it really hooks into you, and you just kind of go through and then realize the time.
So, 6 o'clock, 6 a.m., I got to go to school, no.
I will say, though, initially I was turned off by, like, the cartoony kind of look to it. I don't know why. It just seemed, like another indie kind of game. But no, man, it is, like, you'll sink time into this thing no matter who you are. It's really fun.
See, the way it was, I think I played a couple rounds, never did put much time into it, could appreciate it. The way that I heard it described to me sounds like it's very dad-friendly in the sense that, like, for some people, they said that every day they'd kind of go in two or three runs, and they're done. Yeah. So again, just...
Yeah, exactly. That's all you need.
So that might be very dad-friendly, in fact, possibly even more than the other one mentioned. So Guacamelee 2.
Yeah. Love the first one. So I am interested in the second one. I think that's very dad-friendly as well in terms of... again, you can get in, get out. It might need a save point, which might be the problem, but... I love the Metroidvania kind of style games.
I think you... Would you see this... Would you play this with your kid when they're a bit more able?
I tried Guacamelee 1. I guess I'll call it Guacamelee 1 with him. And it was a little much. Like, I had to tell him where to go. And it was a lot of me giving him instruction while he was playing with me. So it's more of a hair puller outer kind of game. I think he'll have to be a little bit older to understand what's going on, but
okay,
fun colors though.
Love the style. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
The Gardens Between.
That one's neat as a kind of like a dad lesson to kids, because it's like a friendship, and these two kids or these two protagonists have to figure out different puzzles together. So it's kind of like a neat kind of a puzzle friendship adventure that I could see my kids trying to figure out, but I don't know how complex it would be.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think, like, with that kind of slower pace, especially when you come across something you don't know how to solve, the two of you do you think your kids could have the patience for it, though?
I think there would be definitely some frustration, yeah. So when they hit a wall in certain games, it's more like, okay, Dad, you do it. Which I don't mind doing it because I look like a hero doing it, but...
There you go.
This one, it might even stump me, so...
Nice.
I'm not sure.
So we got Megalith. So this is a hero shooter, team-based hero shooter in VR.
Yeah, I saw the trailer. It looked kind of neat from the VR perspective. Not sure if it's anything I'd...
See, for me, it's just... I don't know. There's something very... I'm kind of against too much multiplayer stuff anyways. I have had some pretty good times with Overwatch, I'll say.
Yeah.
But... I don't know. VR really feels like a personal experience.
I agree. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
Now, mind you, like, I've downloaded Spark, which is the one-on-one thing. I'm a little bit curious to give it a shot and see if I'd kind of change. But ultimately, VR to me has been very like a solo thing. So,
right.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the type of thing I really hope these guys... Anything for VR really needs a demo.
Like, it does.
Like, unless you can get in it, how on earth can you possibly know if it's worth a buy? So that one in particular, we'll see. Final Fantasy 15, Episode Ignis.
I wish this would die. Just go, move on. Like, I like playing through the game. It was okay, but it's a mess. Like, this DLC, the third one I think it's been, is filling in gaps of the story that should have already been there. So for me to, like, I've already completed it. I don't necessarily want to go back to discover what I missed. Because Ignis, spoiler alert for anybody that hasn't played it, he just shows up after a big battle with an eye missing. So, like, not even an eye missing, sorry. That's he's crazy. Just he's completely blinded. And you don't know why, and he was in a big fight, and you don't know how, and he doesn't talk about it. And then you have to lead him through the rest of the game blind.
Cool.
So I didn't understand their choice there. So
okay, hold on. You also get to pilot a speedboat. So
who cares? Though I will say my kids love that game.
All right.
And it's not too, you know, violent besides just swords against flashy enemies, but they love that game.
Nice. The Hong Kong Massacre, which looks
neat.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Hotline Miami kind of thing. More realistic, I guess.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to see. I doubt it. I don't know if I'd gone my way to buy it, just with all the hyper-violence it feels.
Yeah. Hotline Miami was really hard, too. So if this thing's as difficult as that is, it's like, meh. I don't.
Yeah, I don't have time to be punished. I'm very
no, definitely not in top-down perspective. At least.
So... Not for your not kids.
Going. No.
Concrete Genie. Adventure about that's a child exploring a world of magic and monsters.
Yeah. I think that's kind of a neat idea, how it can deal with this kid is being bullied, and for him to escape, he draws pictures that come alive on the walls. I think that's a really cool idea, and hopefully it teaches a good moral of the story kind of thing through the game.
As opposed to just saying, as long as you can draw magic, you'll be fine.
Yeah, as long as you can escape through drugs and acidic drug trips and believing the walls are coming alive, yeah, I think that could be a neat one.
Yeah, that's good. It's interesting. That's too. Seems like developers are really starting to embrace the kind of extra gut punch that comes around with using kind of kids in the narrative and seeing those type of experiences. Because we had the two child friendship one from before where they're going through an adventure with various puzzles. This one's about escaping bullying, which is a real honest topic, and how you would deal with that. So I'm kind of curious to see these things come around, and even further kind of curious to see from a father perspective about playing through them. Especially, it'd be, as long as they responsibly handle some of that messaging.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about, right? Like, if they just say, you know, he gains the power and beats them all up, it's like, well, let's not do that in real life. I'm going to take the high road here. But I'm surprised that one's not VR. That one would be a neat one.
That feels like it would. Erica, which is the PlayLink. So that's the system where you can any number of friends can hook up their phones to your PlayStation, play a game on the TV. Yeah. This one seems to be a live-action murder mystery, somewhat probably in the vein of Her Story, but not dissecting videos as that game did. But yeah, so live-action drama where you can interact with a narrative.
It's a neat time where that stuff has come back, right? Like the full motion video.
Yeah.
Because I remember playing that stuff as a kid and like selecting the path of a character. So it's neat to see that back. I had to do a double take. I thought it was just graphics. Like the graphics were upped, but they are actually actors.
Okay.
We've also come to that point where you can't tell.
The only thing I don't really like, when's the last time you had three good friends come around and sit around for an hour playing?
Oh, God.
It's the only, like, I would like that to happen, and maybe in future when the kids are older, I can entertain that type of social thing. But at the moment, the thought of, like, trying to possibly get three adults of our age to sit down, well, maybe that's the thing. That's not really geared towards us. Maybe there's a younger demographic that would do it, but for ourselves, unless you correct me, I just can't, how on earth would I get three people in a room?
Not in that kind of game. I've done the Jack games on PS4 with other people around, but those are more like an entertainment piece, right? This is like you're going into a story and...
Yeah, this is a commitment.
Kill this girl. Like,
yeah, and then if your buddy Derek's a jerk, you're like, gonna ruin the whole game. Derek, stop pressing that. Come on. The last is another one for VR, Blood and Truth. So
that's cool.
This one I'd be excited about because it seems like it's an expanded version of the heist from the demo disc. The heist was one of the greatest experiences.
Yeah.
As far as drawing you in. So if it's like a really fleshed out version, that would be super cool.
I'm glad that they kind of continued that. If it is like an expansion on that, continued that mechanic in VR where pretty much anything was possible, and you could hide behind desks and, you know, flip clips to the other gun, and it was kind of a neat experience. I'm surprised it came out so quickly.
Yeah.
Just the mechanics they introduced.
Yeah, well, now, do you happen to know if it's by the same studio? London?
It was?
I hope so, because anything that plays touches is just fantastic, and I've seen they had a couple games, which makes me really excited.
Yeah. It'll be a new one to see when I get my VR set.
Here, Christmas is coming, buddy. Just be real good for Santa.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Come on, PlayStation, release a super discount.
I will say the what's interesting about the new... I'm kind of curious if they'd sell the processor unit on its own, because apparently the upgraded processor unit will allow HDR pass-through.
Oh, okay.
Because currently, so if you have it hooked up, you can't get like the full... I think full resolution is fine, but there's some HD, some limitations with the video output from the PlayStation to the TV if you're not using...
Okay.
But apparently the new unit fixes that, which... Huh. I don't know if I have to... No, I can't imagine spending more money. That's like,
no. Yeah.
Yeah. And the only... Last thing I'll mention had nothing to do with this. Actually, I said that I think a lot of people... What was interesting about this, for one of the more interesting ones, is you saw a lot of hands-on time with Skyrim come out for VR.
Yes.
It is looking so good. Like, it's... It seems to be everything that people were wanting. Like, there's all this, like, scare people. Like, oh, I don't know if it's going to be any good. And it totally is good. It looks fantastic.
It does. And I think that's the demo they should have shown when they announced it. Because now they've done the full locomotion controls, right? It's not just the skipping ahead stuff. So
I think it depends on your... I don't know if they... Did they achieve that with the Move controllers, though? I think they did. Yeah, they did, because I saw the guy walking around. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Because he was waving around the wand, and then he was walking in a direction.
Oh, okay.
So I think there was a game that came out for VR called Solus. It's kind of a survival spacecraft crashes, you're surviving kind of classic thing. Actually looks pretty good, but I think they have that same mechanic where it's you physically kind of move the controller in a direction to go forward, back, left, right. Man.
Makes sense. Like that is so...
that's like 17 days away. That one sounds like that.
Yeah.
Current depth of
full
any...
Full price though, man. I know. That's $80.
But this is it. Any of the other games... Listen, any of the other games are... Let's call them like a 5, right? As far as like depth. Yep. Like Skyrim is like a 50 compared to to anything else that's out there. Like the number of hours you could sink. Damn.
It's true. Like, the other games are more almost experiences. I hate to call it that. But it's not like a fully fledged... Like, it's not like a Resident Evil where they had the whole game in VR.
Yeah.
Right? Where Skyrim will be the whole game in VR plus all the side quests and all the 400 hours extra that you could do in it.
Man, just like... Yeah, it'd be hard to imagine. Plus, like, man, you get to actually swing the sword. That's like every future version, like every future leaning video. That's like, this is what VR is.
Yeah.
That none of them really have delivered on. Like this one looks like it's going to deliver it. It's awesome.
Well, I saw the guy like twisting the blade. So the actual character was twisting his sword, which is neat.
Yeah. These Move controllers surprisingly hold up given their age.
Right? It's been a while.
They're like something like 8 years old or some nonsense like that.
Yeah.
Man. So that's all the big stuff that week. I think actually it's pretty... There's some interesting dad options from those. And
I think so.
Some really interesting non-dad options. Some even more interesting non-dad options.
Yeah.
As is always the case.
Escape options.
So if you want to take it away, you had a really great topic to discuss.
So in terms of parenting and dadding alike, we've come to a point where my oldest, who is 7, has been officially diagnosed with ADHD. And what that is attention deficit hyperactive disorder. So basically he has... There's 3 types, and he's got the hyperactive type and the inattentive type. So we've kind of known that he's been, you know, the old saying, you know, boys will be boys, and they're you know, very excited, and there's lots of energy. Our oldest son was beyond that. So he was always had tons of energy. He was always talking. I know I say that, but he was always talking, which is great when he's asking questions to get knowledge, but it doesn't stop, which is part of the signs of he's not, you know, being satisfied enough to stop and kind of listen. So you don't have that conversational connection with him when he's always talking and never listening. And then he would be very distracted. So one time in winter, he would, and I think I mentioned this before on the podcast, was in winter, he lost his winter coat in winter, which is, I don't know how you do it. Do you know what I mean? Like you go winter, you put it on, you come back, you have it. So he's lost many items along the way, and that's part of being distracted. But now we've come to a point in school where we've met with a teacher, and she's noticed that, he's being kind of disruptive, not in a bad way. He's just, he's not, you know, stop talking. He likes to help everybody, which is great, but he doesn't leave them alone. So he's kind of all over the place. So we went to the doctor a couple times. We had a form to fill out, kind of like a checklist of things that we noticed about his behavior. And then the teacher had the same one that she did. We kind of piled those together and met with the doctor with our son in the room. Because we want, you know, him to be aware of kind of what's happening in general. So as soon as we were in the doctor's office, and, you know, we're kind of like worried, you know, maybe she'll diagnose him a different way, or maybe there's no diagnosis, and then what do we do? But literally in the doctor's room, we're waiting, and he's all over the place. He's touching the, you know, the bed. He's on the scale. You know, we're saying, you know, sit down. He can't. He's kicking his feet. So she walks in, and she's like, okay, it's pretty much, like, you know, that's there's no question here.
Open,
like,
shut case,
Yeah. Your checklist kind of says the same. The behavior now is the same. So her next step was we have a bunch of tools that we can work with him, kind of the fidget toys, so not a fidget spinner, which is not actually a fidget toy.
Seriously?
It's not.
Oh.
So a fidget toy is
out
actually
the window with my fidget spinner.
Yeah, and those are probably dead by now anyway. But it's actually a toy that has different textures and things to, like, poke in and poke out and rotate and stuff that can kind of keep his mind busy without just, like, once you keep the mind busy with his hands, he won't, the concept is that he won't bother anybody else with talking or getting in their face. So we've been given tools and some parenting tips on how to work with him, you know, listening to him. He does have mood swings, so how to deal with that. And then we've moved to the decision to medicate. So that's been a big thing that I've researched and we've kind of delved into, you know, what are the pros and cons? I know this has probably been done for a while, but, you know, is this going to damage him in any way? Like, what's, you know, what's the outcome? It's, there's different drugs that have been used for ADHD for a while. Has there been new drugs or new research showing that this isn't the best way? So we researched a lot, talked with the doctor, had that conversation with ourselves, and so now he is on medication, and I will say it is almost night and day in terms of his school. So it's basically a drug that works for 10 hours. So he takes it at 7:30 in the morning, and it will work 8 to 10 hours and kind of wear off at the night.
Does he...
through the school day...
So you mentioned night and day. Does he have an opinion on it?
We've asked him. I don't think he can properly express it yet, but he does feel that he is more focused, that he doesn't need to get up, put it that way. We've asked him if he's, like, because I was even trying to understand it, like, this is a drug that's affecting your brain because it is a brain disorder. So I don't want to change, like, that was a huge thing for me. I didn't want to change who he is. Do you know what I mean? Like, if he's all over the place asking questions, talking to me all the time, I don't necessarily want to have medication that gets rid of that. I think I'm almost, like, changing his soul, to put it lightly. But it doesn't seem to be doing that. It's a minimal dose that kind of helps him through the day. the teachers notice that he's been focusing. His reading level has gone up, which is great, because now he can read a book properly without being distracted and closing it and going to do something else. And the conversation with his friends have been better, and we've kind of asked some parents, too, if they've seen a difference. So even as a safety issue, he used to run out in the middle of the road without looking. That's kind of curtailed. We still have to remind him, but not as much.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be working there. It's a trial run for 3 weeks. We're going to get feedback from us and the teacher again, and then meet with the doctor and see what's next. If this is working, if it needs to be more, if we need to stop, and go from there. And then we have to, you know, take a look at side effects too, which is insomnia, which he could be up forever, which I think he just passed out now. So 10 o'clock, a little late.
A little late.
And mood swings. So the mood swings he had before, but now they could be as he kind of crashes, I'll say, off the drug when it wears off. There could be some kind of mood swings that happen with little things that go on here. So we have to give him some leeway sometimes on how do we kind of deal with that, and then when to kind of call it quits, because then he does have a brother that kind of learns from that too. So we can't let everything go, but we know that we're kind of in that trial period where we need to figure out things ourselves. Mm. So it's been a big experience, and kind of hard to swallow at first, because you kind of want your kid to be perfect, and then you realize that that's not the way life goes, and everyone has their own kind of issues to deal with.
Yeah, their own journey.
You kind of approach it, yeah, and, you know, unite and kind of give him the best supports that he's going to need. We have his best interests in mind, so I guess that's the best thing that we can do for him at this time.
Yeah, no, really appreciate you sharing that, because that's obviously a massive point of conversation with a lot of dads. I mean, so how did you guys come to terms with some of the narratives that are going around now around the over diagnosis of ADHD? Because obviously, like, in the sense that people are just like tired of their kid being too energetic and they just want to take care of it, as opposed to kind of going through the proper channels like you did and discussions with doctors, carefully thinking about it, like being on the side of the fence now, like, what's your kind of thinking around that?
Yeah, that was part of the research that we kind of delved into, because I kind of had the same idea that, you know, it's been overdiagnosed, but actually it's been very underdiagnosed, and it could be, I think it also is genetic. So with the underdiagnosis, it's basically a mental disorder that is, something rang quite true to me, is when a lot of people say ADHD is just kind of like faking it, like you can fake that attitude to get you to be medicated, basically. So a lot of ADHD kids have been just called like they're faking it, but it's like saying somebody within depression is like they're in a bad mood. It's not the same thing. It's a brain structure thing that they don't quite have the same as everybody else. They can't get the same, I think it's dopamine that's made in the brain to satisfy everybody's actions, and they need this chemical to counteract that. So I can see people saying, you know, everybody medicates their kids because it's more apparent, but I think we're just now more aware of it, whereas before the attitude was, you know, kind of suck it up buttercup kind of thing. Mm. I can't see it, therefore it doesn't exist, whereas if I break my arm, I get a cast, it's a physical thing. I can see it, where if it's a mental thing, I don't think people quite understand that, especially in the previous generation. I think now we're just more in tune and kind of, there's more supports for that stuff too.
No, of course. Yeah, no, anything with mental disorder, I think now is like, especially with our generation, is just very much a topic that can be discussed without shame. It's just like, this is, you just got cast a bad die, and there's like ways to handle it and totally live a normal life. I mean, the part that really rung true that you stated was the changing him or taking away his soul type of thing. I think even currently with my son there, with his energy level, where sometimes people want him to quiet down, like be still, like relax, like why can't you be quiet? And it's like, that's not him. Like, he's not a quiet guy. You know, like he's full of energy. He like loves to laugh and run and play, and he's not going to just sit quietly because you kind of want him to, and that's counter to himself. So the, right. I mean, so again, kind of being at this tail end and seeing the benefits of it, is that something you're still struggling with, or are the results good enough that you have kind of like peace with it? Like it's for like ultimately the best that you can see, or what's kind of your thinking on that?
Yeah, like he still has that when he gets home. Like he's still talkative. He's still kind of, he's got that energy to him. The only thing that we've kind of really noticed when he is eating supper is that he doesn't eat as much as he did, which is another side effect. So he used to eat like double any other kid would eat. And now we're back to normal. Yeah, so that's actually maybe a saving grace for us.
We can, he can afford more games. Yay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We can load the fridge with less stuff. So, jeez. But I think I don't know, the week that he's been on it, because it's been about 7-8 days, he does seem the same to me, which kind of contradicts what I was saying before, but he does seem like the same person. It's just now, I think throughout the day, he's his better self, where when he gets home, it's the drug itself is wearing off. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing him as himself. We've done it on the weekend as well. I guess that was in there. And he's still him. So he's still the kid I've raised for 7 years. And it hasn't changed. And, you know, my love for him hasn't changed either. So it's, I think it was just something initially that
I would love you to say the opposite. It's just the, I hate him now.
I hate him. Yeah. But it's just, I don't know. At the beginning, again, it was just kind of thinking as your kid, as, you know, he's perfect, right? Like he's born perfect. I don't want to change him. And this thing might change him, which I just had to mentally get my head around and kind of accept that maybe this is the best way to go, at least for now. We'll see what the future holds. Like, we'll always monitor it. I think this is something that he will obviously live for the rest of his life with. So it's just a matter of keeping on top of it. And just if he needs to come off it, then that's not a problem. It's not anything that he needs to keep up for years and years and years. We can, you know, kind of mix it in week to week kind of thing and see how it goes. So...
No, it's great.
It's going to be a different adventure. It's always, it's never a dull moment being dad, put it that way.
something every week. I mean, so for any dads listening who might be kind of thinking about the same line or wondering if they should be, I mean, there's going to be a lot of reservation, right? Because like you mentioned, everybody's kid is perfect to them and they don't want to, and I don't want to say admit that there's a problem, but for lack of a better term, I'll say it that way. So for any dad,
more about recognizing it, right? Like,
yeah. So for any dad who's listening, who might be there, any particular research tips that helped you or methods or approach it, like anything you might say to them if they're starting to question that and wondering how they should approach this?
I would say, first of all, a doctor, get this, in the hands of a doctor so they can give you some professional advice. And that way you can kind of make an informed decision.
Your mother-in-law?
Yeah. And, you know, not Dr. Google that you can end up on, you know, WebMD and then all of a sudden the world's ending. So get them in front of a doctor.
Turns out my son has leprosy. Damn.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
thanks, Google.
Yeah. Yeah. So that would be my first advice is go to the doctor, have your concerns. And then go to the teacher, if they're in elementary school or even preschool or something. Talk to the teacher, talk to the daycare provider. Just get their input on what they see during the day. Because a lot of times you don't see them during the day. You see them in the morning, they go somewhere for 8 hours, they come home at night, and it's just a different story. So get their input, get the doctor's input, and kind of make a decision from there. What's best for your family is might be different from what's best for me. So... I would say that is the kind of the first steps. And then if anybody out there has gone through this or has an older kid going through this and has any advice for me, I'm all ears. I'm kind of taking everything in as like a little sponge and then seeing what I can apply.
Very cool. Yeah, definitely reach out on the any of the new dad channels. We'd love to hear any stories about that. I could definitely vouch for getting feedback from schools and other places because the the kids you drop off don't seem to be the kids that stay at school. Because my son naps and eats three times a day and is very polite when he's at school, apparently. But once he's home, it's like, oh, good, take these wings off. Screw this.
Yeah, party.
David, thanks a lot for sharing that, brother. I think that's really informative. That's great.
No problem.
Yeah, keep us abreast of it. So as mentioned, anybody would like to reach out to us for information about that or share their stories about it, other gaming stories or anything else dad-related, you can find us on our website at newdadgaming.com. We're on Twitter and Facebook as well. You can find the podcast on iTunes and any other podcasting services. But, of course, we'd love a subscribe, a rating, and sharing it around to any new dads who game. Until next week, my name is Trevor, and I have a 2-year-old and a 2-month-old.
And I'm Jeff. I have a now sleeping 7-year-old and a 4-year-old.
Yeah. I think I'll be curious to hear like the background audio on my side of the recording, like as it slowly starts to drift off as he's sleeping. If he sleeps, I don't know. Maybe they gave up and he's like outside running, whatever. Like, you never know. Yeah. Oh, that's odd. All right. We'll see you next week.